Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Mujer de Éxito Unbounded, Woman of Success Without Limits. Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo están todos? Espero que estén muy bien. Everybody, I am so excited today. I get to interview a beautiful woman, right? I think she's beautiful. She's got this gorgeous, big, you know, big eyes and the gorgeous hair. But anyway, she is a great business coach, just like I am. And she is also a Mujer de Éxito Unbounded. Guys, I am so happy to introduce to you Jessica, Coach Jess. Now, Coach Jess is based out of New York, and I'm based out of San Diego. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She helps entrepreneurs and their teams elevate their leadership and communication so that they can increase productivity and performance in themselves and others. So, a little bit about her. Prior to starting her business, she climbed the corporate ladder in a competitive, male-dominated industry for a top five international bank. Whoa, in the banking industry, okay? During her tenure, her team brought approximately $4 billion in originations year after year, which was by far the largest of any team. This woman, besides the fact that I got to meet her, because both of us together wrote a book together and now we're international bestsellers. She's an extremely passionate person about empowering people and helping them to evolve their mindset, which then will result in positive impacts on their business goal and as their life as a whole. Her passion has led her to become certified in several Franklin Covey programs, such as 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, Leading at Speed of Trust, 6 Critical Practices for Leading a Team. That's just to name a few, and I can go on and on. But Jessica believes that you can develop as a leader, and there's no such thing as a one-size-fits-all. It's an amazing opportunity for me to be able to talk to her and for you to listen to her. Welcome, Jessica. I'm going to unmute you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Wow, that was quite the introduction. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So, You were in corporate, and that's amazing as well. You know, being in corporate in the banking industry is all, you know, yeah, I agree that that's like a male dominated. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So it's interesting how, you know, the whirlwind of life, right? Of just everyone's life. And we make plans and then life just kind of takes over. And so for me, I ended up in sales and then went into the banking side and just ended up climbing the corporate ladder. And I just felt like I wanted to work really hard, right? I always felt like I needed to do more because I did not finish college. And I was a young mom and I just wanted to do really good for myself and for my children. And so I worked really hard. And as I continued climbing that corporate ladder, what's interesting is that you gain a lot of confidence because you're able to achieve a lot. But then there's a lot of imposter syndrome that climbs in at the same time. It's kind of a weird dynamic, but that is how it happened for me. And I know that's how it happened for others. And so as I climbed that corporate ladder and throughout my tenure, like I said, there was a lot of responsibility of my team. We were responsible for bringing in just a little under $4 billion year after year after year. But as I started climbing, I got to the point where I looked up and there wasn't anyone's chair that I wanted anymore. And I was never a big fan of the corporate space in general, just because it's so structured. I like some structure, but it's just so structured. And I always felt like I had to have a wall up or a guard up. You know, I had to have my work persona and then my regular life persona. And I just wanted to be me. And that's kind of where my passion came in for coaching people. I wanted them to feel confident. I wanted them to know it's okay to make mistakes. And if I'm being completely transparent, my real passion for leading people in the most authentic and genuine way came from because I wasn't managed that way. And I wasn't coached and developed that way. And so I became the leader that I wanted to have.
So that's amazing. You said two things that are really important. I wasn't coached or led that way. Mm-hmm. And so often we do that. We become the people that we wish we had, you know? So I came from the educational world. I was a principal and, the team was the whole school, taking a school out of program improvement. But, you know, that same thing, I felt the same thing as you. How interesting, because I felt like the assistant superintendent and the superintendent didn't have my best interest at heart and didn't have the best interest of the students at heart. Mm-hmm. And so, it was interesting. But you say, yeah, you want to be led and coached, you know, in a certain way that inspires you. And that sounds like what you do now. So I see you a lot I follow you on social media. I see you a lot. You're an amazing person. You seem like a very warm person and you have a lot of followers who, you know, interact with you. And I think that's really, really important. But let's talk a little bit more about, give me, you know, this podcast is Mujer de Éxito Unbounded, Woman of Success Without Limits. But, you know, people always see where you are now, but tell me a little bit about, you know, your story of resilience. What happened? What set you up for success?
Yeah. It's funny, I was reflecting on this the other day, kind of what set me up for success. I think there was always a burning desire to do more, even as a young person. I wanted to do more and I wanted to do it on my own. I don't know why I'm like that. I haven't figured that part out yet. I don't know if it's important anymore to figure it out, the whys, but I imagine myself to be like, you know, when the little baby's trying to walk and they're like, no, like, I got it. Don't help me. I imagine that I was a little like that as a child. That's just what I remember. I wanted to do it on my own. I didn't feel like I needed anyone. And it could be because I had such a strong foundation. My parents are amazing. My family is amazing. So I guess in the back of my mind, I knew they were there, but I wanted to do it on my own. So I always worked really hard. I've been working since I was 14 years old. And not because anyone told me to get a job, but I wanted to get a job. I didn't like asking my parents for money. I wanted to do things and I wanted to be independent. That's just the way I've always been. And then as I got older, I wanted a certain lifestyle for myself and for my children. And so in my mind, that meant I had to work harder. I had to work more. And I'll say that I don't know that that's necessarily the case, that mindset. What I learned was that I think that when, to your point, and actually you said it when we were on IG Live together, we are better together. And when we learn that we actually do need people and it will make our life easier, the more I learned that the more success I had faster, because I would bring in my network of people because I didn't have to do it on my own. That mindset shifted and my career and my relationships got deeper and my career grew faster. And I was becoming more of myself. I didn't feel like I had to be so guarded. I can be more of me and I can spread more love. Even if that meant holding you accountable, I could do it in a loving way. And it just felt really good. You asked the question, I want to make sure I answer it. You said, you asked kind of what was those trials? I think that's what you said. And there were several, but I think, as far as career is concerned, when I realized that I don't need two personas, right? I don't need a work persona and a home persona. I can mesh those two people and be more genuine. that resonated in everything I did. And I felt better about myself. And so I would always ask feedback. If people left the company or left my team, I would always ask for feedback. Like, you're gone. Give me some feedback. Give me the real deal. What should I be doing better? I always wanted to be a better manager, coach. And the person leaving said to me, I wish you were more like this. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, I don't know. You just feel like more you, like there's no walls up. And I didn't think I was doing that. So as soon as that happened, it clicked. And I said, okay, I'm just going to be me, whatever, all the flaws, let's just put them out there. And I think it helped people put their wall down, my walls down, now their walls down. And we just worked better. And that's when we really started hitting those milestones and became the number one team in the organization year after year after year.
Yeah, that is amazing. That sounds, you know, always working, you know, you sort of stated in your biography about, you know, working in a man's world, right? But then we have to think about, as a Latina, we've always been working in a man's world, no matter what we did, right? Even though, like for me, I was a teacher, the people that got more attention and more classes that they wanted were always the men. And then the people at the top were always men. Yeah. And it was like, you know, I had a male assistant superintendent. I had a male superintendent. I had a male supervisor all the way through, working under mostly male principals until I became, you know, that one Latina like you. And so let me ask you this. How did your Latinaness play into your role?
Oh, my Latinaness. I think I was just thinking about this the other day. So I was labeled so many things and I never knew how to take it. So it was like, you're very New York. Don't know what that means, but I guess appropriate because I'm from New York, but okay, I didn't know what that meant. I dressed urban. No, I dressed, I don't know. They commented on the way I dressed one year at a gala, but I mean, I thought I had a nice dress on. I liked my outfit. I think I'm pretty stylish most of the time, but I dressed very urban. Not sure what that meant. I walk into a room like I own it and I'm like, I'm in sales. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? But they said it like it was a bad thing. So many things that I just didn't know how to take it. They also said that at times I come across aggressive. So I was definitely in my male energy. And it could be that I'm Puerto Rican and from New York and, you know, from Brooklyn and Queens, that could definitely be part of it. I'm not sure, but I will say, and I will own it. I'm about accountability. I'm a doer. I'm taking action. Like that's just, I definitely lived in my male energy. I never thought it was cute to be the damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. That's just not who I am. But I will say that I learned over the years being in your feminine energy, in the ease, in the flow, does feel really freaking good. And so I continue to own both my male energy and my feminine energy. But it took time.
Yeah, I agree. And that resistance that sometimes comes up from the other, you know, it's almost, I don't know if you felt this, but it's almost, yeah. So I was labeled a man hater because I was so, you know, I was like, no, I'm not a man hater. It's just that if you're a man, you're going to live up to, you know, the same expectations that I'm and the same standards that I'm held to, right? Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I got labeled a man hater. And I'm going like, if I was a man hater, I wouldn't have a husband, you know, and all of that and be successfully married. And so it was interesting. Yeah. Latinaness shows up in different ways.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you this. In corporate, was there ever a time where they made you feel bad because of your Latinaness?
Well, I would say, I don't know if it was that overt, right? I don't know if it was that overt, but it was definitely, I remember one year they asked me, why are you hanging out with those girls? And it was like the two other, well, actually one wasn't even Latina. She just looked it. And then the one other Latina, like, why are you hanging out with them? And I thought that was just such a weird question. Like, what are we in high school? But of course, you know, I definitely gravitated to the women of color because there wasn't many. And so being asked questions like that just felt so weird. And so I don't think it was as overt, but there was definitely an underlying tone of, and I remember another girl told me one time, oh, wow, you definitely know how to work those curves. I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to say, but I really didn't care. And I walked away, but it was those comments often like, I can't help that this is the body that God gave me. So don't know what to tell you about it. And I'm not ashamed of it. So, and I was wearing pants like, and a blazer. So it wasn't anything crazy. So it's interesting, you know, what you have to deal with as a woman, what you have to deal with as a Latina. And, you know, it definitely, there were not a lot of women who looked like me. Mm. And as I started climbing the corporate ladder, oftentimes I was the only woman at the table. Only woman at the table, and then also only minority at the table. Mm. And so, you know, you work through those things and they'd ask difficult questions. And I really, that's when, you know, my guard goes up and I'm thinking, okay, how am I supposed to answer this? I mean, there were times where people would even ask me like, oh, are your sons from the same father? And I thought that was just such an invasive question from someone I barely know. And so, yeah, many, many times I had been asked and put on the spot and asked questions that I just was not sure. If I was a man, I'm sure that question would not have been asked.
Yeah, that's awful. I can't believe that last question.
Yeah.
That's so terrible. But, you know, you rose through all that. You kind of, you know, got through all of that. And now you're doing coaching. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing now.
Yeah. So, you know, all of these trials and different things that I went through in my life, I think has really helped me become who I am today. And really, I don't feel like I've changed. I feel like I became more of me and more comfortable, like just, you know, what I always feel like I was what you see is what you get, but way less of a guard. There's really not a guard up anymore. And I love that you said I come across as very loving and affectionate because I am. I think I was always nervous to put that out there because I felt vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I never liked being vulnerable. It didn't feel good to me. And I remember reading a book not too long ago. I was already in the process of relearning all of this stuff, but I read a book by Brené Brown called Rising Strong, and she focuses a lot on vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And the more vulnerable I become, the closer and deeper your relationships get. And then you are able to coach others to do those same things, right? And it shows up in business all of the time, because the more genuine you are to yourself, to your process, to your business, to your sales pitch, people feel that. People feel your energy before you even say a word. And so I really coach on leaders leading themselves, leading their businesses, leading their teams in a genuine way. And that doesn't mean that the other person that you're leading gets away with everything. It means you hold them accountable, but you are doing it in the most loving way possible. And when you do that, people want to work with you. Businesses want to work with you. Clients want to work with you. And you feel really good about what you're doing. So it's like a win-win across the board.
Mm. And so you and I had talked a little bit about what you were doing. And it sounds like you were back then moving into like being a business coach and helping the corporate world. So more like being a corporate business coach.
Yeah.
Is that still, you know, what you're doing? What's happening?
So I have this is just evolving so beautifully. So I do have a program called the Leadership Accelerator, and that is for individuals, I just finished up a group, and it was like I had a couple of business owners. I had two executives in there. And that is about leading their businesses, leading their teams. I had a couple of individual contributors who do not lead teams, solopreneurs. So that's more about leading yourself, confidence, getting rid of that imposter syndrome, the way you communicate to your clients, to your team, things like that. But then in addition to that, I am also working with organizations, creating leadership programs and communication programs within their org. And so that is just so fulfilling. I think as leaders, we touch so many different people and we can really bring them up or crush their soul. I may be exaggerating a little bit, but you get my point. You can really make somebody feel bad about themselves because as leaders, people look up to us. And so I'm working with organizations and I just want to go in and transform company culture. That is really what excites me. Mm. So it's evolving so beautifully.
Yes. And it sounds like it. It sounds so much like that. And I tend to work with entrepreneurs, mostly ambicultural entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so it's beautiful. I want to make sure that we touch on one thing. We were in a book together and we're both business coaches. And I want the people to hear from you. How do you feel about being in the same pot as with another business coach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think we're always better together. And I believe that there's enough for everybody. What's funny is that when I worked in corporate, my sister worked for a competitor and we were still always out all the time because I became best friends with somebody who was a competitor. There is enough for everybody. I think you have to have that abundance mindset. With that scarcity mindset, there's no winning with that. So have that abundance mindset. There's enough for everybody to win.
Yeah, I agree. Ditto on that. And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I want to know a little bit more about how tough was it when you were moving through the corporate ladder being a mom?
I have to say I was lucky. I had my parents. My parents they lived not too far from me. They were such a great support system. It certainly takes a village. My family, my ex, we co-parented. So while it was challenging at times, when I had to start traveling a lot, my parents would just stay over and I'd co-parent and I made it work. Like I didn't even think about any other way. I just kind of made it work. And I will say my boys got closer.
How many?
Because I have two sons and they got closer because I would have to travel and they'd have to figure it out themselves. And I think there's a beauty in that. Like I wish I would have let them be more independent when they were younger, because there's something to be said about having to figure it out on your own and not having your hand held the whole time, which is, I think, as mama bears, that's what we want to do, right? I wanted to do everything for them. But looking back, I'm like, oh, that may not have been a great thing, but it worked out the way it's supposed to.
That's great. And so how old are your sons now, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so my sons are 26 and 19. Yes. Grown.
Right. For those of you that are listening, my mouth just hit my keyboard. Okay. This woman doesn't. What? You got pregnant when you were six or what?
Yeah. I was 19 when I had my first. So I was pretty young. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about you have a freebie, I think, or where can people find you? Yeah. How can they follow you? How can they chat with you? Mm-hmm. You know, where are you?
Yeah, so I typically hang out on Instagram at Coach Jessica Rivera. So you can find me there. I'm always in my stories and posting on my feed. So I'm there. There's also, if you want to find some freebies, I definitely have a great workshop that I did on communication that is on my website at jrcoaching.net. I also have a couple of other freebies on like time management and ways to stop the overwhelm, as well as if you're interested in the Leadership Accelerator, which I am doing my winter cohort in January, toward the end of January. I'll be opening up doors then. There's some info on that as well.
That's great. And, you know, and what I want to say to everybody too is that you want to follow her, you want to see her. And, you know, even if it's just to ask her a question, please reach out to her, you know, DM her and ask her whatever you want to ask her. We're here because we want to make sure that, you know, all BIPOC women, especially, we're here. It's not that I hate men. Absolutely not. Okay. Because I'm a coach and I'm actually coaching a couple of men right now. Same. I will tell you this. Now, let me just kind of sidebar it a little bit. I find sometimes coaching men is a little bit tougher than coaching women. I don't know.
I will say this. I don't know. For those of you who ever read Eckhart Tolle's, I think it's The Awakening, he says in there that women tend to have less of an ego. This is Eckhart's words, not my words. But Eckhart says women tend to have less of an ego. So obviously coaching a woman, especially because according to Eckhart, who is a spiritual leader, says that women have less of an ego. So I would agree.
Yeah, you know, and
a little more open to change.
Yes, there you go. I think that that's the case. I think, you know, historically, men have had to be strong, you know, even and staunch, and so it has, I think, over evolution caused an inability to be so, I would say, growth minded, right? So we talk about a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. They tend to be more fixed.
Yes.
The ones I've worked with, and I've worked with quite a few men through education and stuff like that. But anyway, so just, it's been a pleasure. Is there anything else, any tips, anything else that you would love to have our listeners hear? I mean, would you love to give our listeners?
Yeah. You mentioned already, like, to DM me. I love communicating. I love meeting new people. Yeah, so definitely DM me, reach out. The other thing is, I just want people to know that you're not alone. Anything you may be going through, believe me, someone else is going through it as well. And, you know, if it's easier to speak to somebody that you don't know, reach out to somebody on social media, reach out to me, reach out to Marty. We will love to kind of chat and help you work through an issue.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It has been a pleasure. And I are going to continue together on this book project that we are doing, you know, Latinas Who Boss Up. If you guys have not even thought about this, think about it now. You can actually get the ebook on Amazon, and all of the proceeds go to girlsinc.org. So we're not keeping any of it. People ask me, well, how much of it are you keeping? None. It's 100% going to girlsinc.org, Latinas Who Boss Up. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Jess, thank you so much for being here. And I hope it's okay that I called you Jess.
Of course. Everybody calls me Jess.
So thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. Gracias por estar aquí. If you have any questions, make sure you follow us. And make sure you give this episode a thumbs up and download it, because the downloads are the ones that count. And remember to find us together on Latinas Who Boss Up, right? So thank you so much. Gracias por estar aquí. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
This episode brought to you by Celavive Hydrating and Lifting Sheet Mask. The Celavive Hydrating and Lifting Sheet Mask locks in intense moisture to perfectly prime your skin for restful sleep. Apply this relaxing hydration serum several times a week to pamper yourself and radiate your healthier looking complexion. Sheet masking is all the rage right now. Make it a regular part of your healthy skincare regimen today. CeraVe Hydrating and Lifting Sheet Mask. Click the link below and get yours today.